roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What's up, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz here, reporting for duty on a Monday. Good to be with you. Hopefully you all had a very nice weekend. We did. It was our mom's birthday on Friday. We wished her a happy birthday on Thursday, so to do it again would be not enough. Happy birthday again, Mom. I hope she had a great birthday. You guys, a lot of you from Junkie Nation that have gotten to know her had some really nice, sweet messages for her. So thank you. I tried to answer some of them on her behalf and on behalf of our family, and hopefully I got to most. And if not, I'll try to get to them all. But that meant a lot, seriously. And also, it was our 14-year anniversary on Saturday, yesterday. And yeah, 14 years ago. So it was April 11, 2007. We started this show as Tag Radio, Trig and Gorgeous George. And we became MMA Junkie Radio about a year later, a little bit over a year later. And there was a little bit of a few months of a waiting period because we wanted it to coincide with us debuting at the Mandalay Bay. So people ask us, how long have you been to the Mandalay Bay? How long has that been in your studio? Since February of 2009, I think is when we dipped in and did our first show. So even that alone is like a 12-year-old home for us, which we haven't been there as much in the past year, but it's still our home. Our stuff's still there, and we hope to get back to there sooner. Also, let me just go through. So I wanted to get that out of the way. Thank you again for all your kind messages about that. I'm sure we'll talk about that on the show. On today's show, we're also going to talk about Bellator 255. Ryan Bader gets his revenge on Lyoto Machida. He advances in the light heavyweight Grand Prix for Bellator, their $1 million prize, as well as a shot at the title if you come up against Nemkov. We'll also go over UFC on ABC2 with Marvin Vettori defeating Kevin Holland in that main event. Those are middleweights. And it could be as big of a fight for Vettori that it could lead to a title shot. I think he's in the running. I think he's a name that should be considered. I just don't know if he's next. So we'll talk about that as well. And we got to get to, at some point, McGregor and Poirier. Or I like to say Poirier-McGregor because I think Poirier right now is respectfully the last guy to get the win in what appears to maybe be a trilogy or maybe not. Wait till you hear everything that has happened in the last 12 hours, 24 hours with that one. But McGregor is the A side. He will always be the A side. It's just that usually when someone wins the last fight, I like to go Poirier, McGregor. I don't even know how has it been build goes. Well, actually, tell me about it when we come back. We'll get the MMA Joke Radio Show started here on a Monday, April 12th. Goes, listen, I'm going to look up Poirier and McGregor, but I wanted you to maybe just share any thoughts you want about our 14-year anniversary. And I got good news. This is a big day in terms of drama. Nolan King's going to join us here. There he is, actually.
You're saying Nolan's drama?
Huh?
Nolan's drama?
No. Nolan King's going to join us to unpack all this drama. But Before we get started on Poirier and McGregor, just any quick thoughts on the 14-year run that we've had. And as you do that, I'm going to look and see how they're listing the trilogy fight that's going to go down July 10th, if it's still going down.
Well, 14 years is a long time. There's so many memories and so many people that we've met and so many fighters that we've met and had in studio. But really, what really starts to make you feel old, and maybe you guys will understand this in your own personal lives, but when you were growing up, you grew up with certain superstars, right? Like for me, it was Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas. once those guys start to go away, you start to feel a little old when that new crop of basketball players come along and you hear people that didn't know any of the guys that you grew up watching. That's kind of now happened to George and I in the sport, where when we first started interviewing people, the names that we were interviewing were a lot different than the ones that we're doing now. And we're almost, I could almost say we're going through that second generation of fighter, George. So that, looking back and trying to remember all of that is very, very difficult, but I think we do a pretty good job because of how much all this has meant to us. Every little memory that we've made in doing this and being a part of, not just being a part of a sport, but feeling like you helped build a sport. That's a memory that I'm always going to keep really tight with me. And I have to thank everybody that tunes in every week and supports our show, because without you guys, we wouldn't have a job. We wouldn't be doing this. We'd just be two monkeys goofing off. So Junkie Nation is just incredible. We love it. Our colleagues, one of them sitting here right now, everybody's just been great. We've been through different cycles of friends and coworkers and platforms, but everybody's had some sort of piece in making the show what it is. And we're very grateful for all of you.
Yeah, I mean, Ghost said it perfect. So there's really nothing to add other than thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. For those of you that have tuned in for 14 years and anyone else that's come along for the ride, even if it was just for one show, 10 shows, whatever, 100, we really appreciate you. It's been 14 years, 3,147 shows, over 10,000 guests, and we're not stopping. So let's get started with this one. Let's bring in Nolan King. What up, NK?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good, and you?
Good. Congrats on the big anniversary. That's like I tweeted out yesterday, that's a long time in by any standard, but by MMA standard. I mean, how many people can say that they've done something in this industry for 14 years? Not many people can say that. So congrats, guys. That's really special, you know?
Thank you. We appreciate that. I did see that, man. I appreciate it. And, you know, like Ghost said, we have gone through a cycle of covering fighters and, you know, work colleagues as well, like yourself. A couple of years we've been with you, and I couldn't be more thrilled about the young talent that we brought into Junkie, like yourself and Fada and Danny. And man, you guys are gonna help us keep growing the site, and the sport just keeps blowing up. So yeah, you keep doing a great job as well, man. It's great to work alongside you too, man.
Oh, thank you. That just goes to show everybody out there how modest you are. You know, you guys, two of the nicest people I think I've met in this industry. So hopefully 14 more years are in store at minimum for you guys going forward.
There you go. Yeah. All right, guys. So let's get into it. Poirier McGregor, what is going on here? I'll give you guys a quick timeline, but just a quick reaction of this drama that's unfolding between Poirier and McGregor. Go ahead, Nolan. What are your thoughts? And then we'll take it one by one, like what's been happening.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that obviously this is all surrounding something that was supposed to be a pretty solid sportsman gesture in MMA. You know, Conor and Dustin being up there on stage and being friends and the last time around, and big donation going to come to Dustin's charity. I thought that was going to be one of the more special moments in MMA. It's unfortunate that this has all gone down the way that it has. And I'm still hoping that the people that lose out in this is not going to be the people that were hoping to get their money through Dustin's charity. And I hope that donation still goes through no matter what. But I will say that this has people talking about this fight again. I think that the evil Conor aspect of things being back is certainly interesting. I think that, again, controversy, for better or worse, gets eyeballs. And I think Conor maybe last time around, maybe he's thinking he didn't play enough mind games for Dustin And I think our friend Mike Bond, our coworker, made a very good point, which is this is probably something that would aggravate Dustin more than anything else that Conor could have said, would be messing with the charity stuff. So I don't know if this is a play by Conor. I don't know how much of it's serious, how much of it's just trying to get people going. But it's unfortunate, but eyeballs are going to be there, I think, going forward.
All right. How about you, Ghost?
Dude, I'm so glad he brought that up the way he did, because I brought this point up and people were thinking I was some kind of Martian or something. This third fight with Conor McGregor has got to be completely different when you think about it, because think about Dustin Poirier, how all the things that he said after that first loss and how long it affected him, right? And then he got kind of a subdued Conor McGregor in the second fight where he was very friendly. He didn't have to deal with that big Irish contingent, the fans booing him, screaming at him. This fight's going to be different. It's going to be more closer to that first fight. And not just the effect that it has on Poirier, but the effect that it also gives Conor McGregor, the confidence that it gives him. I expect Conor McGregor to have some sort of swag for this fight, to really play the mind games, really try and get in Dustin's head. And this has got to be step one. It's unfortunate that it has come to this and public in this way. But, hey, man, we've all seen Conor McGregor will do anything to get a win. So I wouldn't be shocked if this was all part of the plan.
No way. You think it's part of the plan that involved the charity?
To bug him, to delay it, to upset him, that sort of thing. Because he could have very well said, hey, buddy, check's in the mail. It's coming. Don't worry about it. But he didn't say that, did he? So, I mean, I think it's part of mind games. I think once you see somebody affected by something, you jump on it.
Nah, I mean, it might be right. I don't know. This thing's so crazy. You guys might be right, and maybe my take will be wrong. My take is that Poirier just punked him, you know, and said, hey, man, where's the money? Like, seriously, this is supposed to be for charity. You're kind of embarrassing the two of us, you know? And on fight week, you're saying, hey, you guys are already releasing that the bank information, the wiring instructions have been agreed to. Guys, look, I'll fill you in on something. When I became a part of MMA Junkie, I had to do some wiring, all right? It wasn't that hard. And it wasn't 500K, but it wasn't 500 bucks over Zelle or PayPal or anything like that either. It was a five-digit number, you know, that got sent to them. Anyway, it's another story you can ask me about someday. But it wasn't difficult, and it just went down, all right? So if they're at the point where they're asking for the wiring instructions, I would imagine that by then the due diligence has been done where, you know, you're not wondering about Good Fight Foundation. Like, you know, that whole thing about where's the money going, I think you would have done that before agreeing to it. But Conor, I think, appreciated Dustin from a distance. Remember, they both grew up and matured. It had been 6 or 7 years since their first fight. They both are wealthy, but Conor's super wealthy. And I think he said 500K headed your way, right? And you know, that's kind of what brought the fight together, and they were chummy, they were both professional, they both have families, they're why, you know, everything's just making more sense to them now than when they were younger, and you know what I mean, they would have fought in an alley. So, you know, for them, here's the thing. 2.5 months has gone by since the fight, and that payment should have been made by now, is what it boils down to. And should Dustin have called him out on it? I don't know. But have you guys been seeing some of those tweets? Like, I'll read you the one, like, on April 6th where, you know, the Diamond says, I never slack. I'll meet you in the middle of the octagon July 10th. And then McGregor says, good to hear, Dustin. I hope so. The last time you backed up and shot inside the first 30 seconds, I'll be in the middle from the very get-go, blah, 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 or whatever. So right away, you can just tell, guys, McGregor's been stewing since that loss because it ruined his plans of 2021, him being – he wants that Forbes list. He wants to have probably a higher number than Floyd ever had. I don't know if he'll get to that because Floyd made 300 mil just on that one fight. But I think that's what he obsesses over, is that type of stuff, getting on that Forbes list. That's why he wants to fight on a January, maybe fight 3 or 4 times, because he doesn't envision losing at all. And he thought at that time, maybe I can get under Habib's skin and we'll fight this one, Habib again, and maybe even one more. Maybe even Nate 3. I don't know. That's why this guy has grand visions. And, you know, Dustin took it to him, right? And took all that away from him. So you could just tell he's been stewing. And so with those little jabs back, I think that, along with Poirier not getting that payment, just brought Poirier to the point where he said, hey, well, what's up with that money? Now, should I have done it public? That's what I'm on the fence about, because I don't think I would have. I don't think I would have unless it was brought up to me. If I'm just doing an interview on Nolan King's podcast and he says, hey, so what'd you ever do with the money? Then I might say, well, yeah, I was hoping you wouldn't ask me about this because I really don't like to air things out. But actually, nothing. Communication's gone down. But see, he did it on his own. Now, that said, I'm also a generation older than Nolan King and Goes and Dustin, and a lot of you guys, I think, kind of just maybe don't wait as long and may blurt it. Maybe not you guys, all right? But some people just kind of like to air it out that these are prize fighters. I don't think Dustin was doing it with the purpose to build a fight. I think he just wants the money, man. Like, seriously, these are for kids. They're going to build a gym for it. And then McGregor got caught with his pants down, and he's trying to say, well, I need to know dot for dot where it's going. You guys were at the wiring instructions, you know, stage months ago. You know, like, what's the wire? What is it? What's your account? And what's the routing? All right, cool. You know, should take a day or two. I don't know. At that point, you don't do your due diligence and say, so what are we going to do with it? You're going to build a gym. You're going to have mats, cage. Is it going to be kickbox? You know, you're past all that. Plus, what does that say about Good Fight Foundation? I mean, are you kind of tearing down their reputation? I don't know. So I think mistakes all the way around. Now, along the way, so now let me take you through the timeline. That was just the setup, right? So Dustin says, I gave it a refresh here on Twitter. It'll just take me a second. He says, that's a fun prediction, Conor McGregor or Notorious MMA. You also predicted a donation to my foundation, and you and your team stopped responding after the fight in January. See you soon, July 10th, paid in full. McGregor responded by saying, where is it? I shouldn't have hit refresh. Fucked it all up. I had it all lined up. Well, he said something about it wasn't a dead. No, wait, where was it? Any of you guys got it?
Let's see. I had it, but I also refreshed.
Yeah, I didn't want to miss out.
You are right, though. Mistakes all the way around. That it shouldn't be going down this way.
Yeah, he said. I hate it when you got to get into tweets and replies. Fucking lay it out, man. Just like a blog, you know what I mean? Like this and this and this and this and this. Why do I have to jump all the way back to the top or hit another page just to get to all this? McGregor says, a donation, not a debt. We've been awaiting the plans for the money that never came. I do with all my donations. Know where it's going, dot for dot. Otherwise, it goes walking, as is the case with a lot of these foundations, sadly. You took the McG over the belt. Shows I was right. That little sentence we'll cover later. Dustin then says, that's a fun. We thanked him. No, some guy had chimed in. Dustin confirmed they already been received the donation a while ago. Even his wife thanked Conor after the fight. This is just Dustin trying to promote the fight somehow. That's somebody's take. But I mentioned it because Diamond, meaning Dustin, replies that he says, we thanked him because his team reached out fight week to initiate the process, but ghosted us the past 2 months after the fight. My foundation has reached out 3 times since with no reply. We moved past it. We will be announcing our next goal soon. It's a big one. So, you know, good for them. And then Adi Attar, who is he's the agent and manager to Conor McGregor, been along for the whole ride with Conor McGregor. So he's his boy. He says, Dustin, why are you fronting? Did you forget the face-to-face meeting we just had in Utah with our family, where we stood by you as you tried to get more money from the UFC? Conor is as generous as it gets. Don't dismiss his business savvy. He always gets it done. This is a low move, man. So, I mean, like I say, some of that's right. Some of it isn't. In my book, The Mean Streets of Santa Ana, that's my playbook, right? Diamond says, we thanked him because he reached. Oh, no. So we're past all that. So up until that point, guys, what are you seeing? What are you feeling?
I think it's all wrong. I definitely, and I don't know why Adi is kind of getting involved. It's funny. I think, didn't he call him like a Twitter tough guy or something, like take it easy or something
Go ahead. Keep talking.
I don't think it needs to be done in public like this, man. It really takes away from what's actually happening. It seems silly to me. I could see tactically trying to get in somebody's head how it could play out that way, but I don't think it's being done on purpose that way. I think now it's just unfolding that way. And I think I honestly think it's going to bother Dustin for a while. The more and more it goes on, I think it'll bother him. I think Conor, as long as he makes good on what he said, then he's going to be in the clear, which I assume he's going to do eventually. He'd be the ultimate bad guy if he didn't come through with that.
Yeah, I mean, I can see him maybe hanging out a little longer to let Poirier his fuse burn. But Yeah, I mean, I just hope that Dustin putting this out in the open, like Dustin's such a model citizen in this sport that I can't imagine that he would come out and prematurely say something about, you know, McGregor not wiring the money or whatever. Like, he must have felt pretty comfortable, like, hey, these guys are ghosting me in order to put this out. You know, unless he's pulling a reverse on Connor, unless he's trying to get in his head or something, but that doesn't seem like something Dustin would do. So hopefully, bottom line, I hope that the money does get transferred, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, after the second fight, whatever. I hope that it goes through. And I mean, it certainly added, like I said, an interesting element in this whole thing, for better or worse.
Yeah. So I found Dustin's reply to Adi, and he says, I had to go to tweets and replies. Fuck is it? I just had it. His team hasn't responded to our emails about anything involving my foundation after they reached out to us originally. All good. Dinner and talk was great. So he's talking about Utah. But don't get on Twitter and be a tough guy, which is like what Ghost said, right? Now, I also found one extra interesting tweet where a Corey Matthews says to Adi, so is this just a case of Connor not knowing where the 500 grand is going to go and making sure that it doesn't go? It doesn't go walking when the money will be sent. Walking. Is the donation still going ahead? Adi says yes, meaning is this just the case of not knowing where the 500 grand is going? But he also seems to answer yes and yes, that the donation is still going ahead, which is very, very important. I would hate for him to back out of that. In one of the articles that I saw on Junkie, it says he's got a net worth of 145 million. And that proper whiskey was going to put another 300 million in his pocket. Kid's doing well. 500 grand won't hurt him one bit. So I think we've answered the questions of, is he still going to get the money? He is, right? It got ugly. He still is. But McGregor's fuming, guys, because I thought, okay, show prep kind of done. I had some notes on Rose. She's kind of talking politics a little bit. Bellator 56. And then all of a sudden, we get this gem. McGregor says, you're ripped, you inbred hillbilly. Why do you wink with your ears, you fucking brain-dead hillbilly? 500K with no plan in place? Ye hang tight. Fool, you must be new to money. The fight is off, by the way. I'm going to fight someone else on the 10th. Good luck on your old contract, kid. Then he follows it up with, it's Mardi Gras, bitches. Get your tits out for it. Which we have a worldwide audience, so I'll just tell you, on Mardi Gras, you throw beads to the girls and they flash their tits. That's what he's talking about. And then, is there one other one now?
Yeah, we had that analysis.
My team does their due diligence to make sure every donation meets its mark. My generosity is known. You will pay with your brain for this attempt at smearing my name. I told you guys, he's pissed right now. He's seething because this makes him look like a chump, right? Shooting ass, shelling ass bitch. Little bitch kicks from a shell. I don't know what that means. Good luck. When you're caught, you're fucked. So he is kind of threatening to not fight Poirier. What do you guys think of that?
I think I want to see like a drunk history version of you reading the tweets and then them acting it out. That would be dope. I think, dude, I mean, obviously, there's no way. The fight's still going to happen. Conor's not an idiot. He's not. He's just saying that. That's the thing about Conor McGregor that, to me, I find sometimes annoying, is what's the point in that? Nobody's going to believe that shit. That's just a waste of time. Say something else. Use your platform to say something else. Talk shit. Say whatever you want, but don't try and trick us into thinking that you're going to cancel a fight over this. You've made the decision. It's boring to me to hear that. I don't know. What do you think, Nolan?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that those type of... those claims are annoying. And the rest of it, I have to say, like, this is more vintage Conor McGregor than I think I've seen on Twitter in a while. Like, there's been some things he's posted where I'm like, is he even the one that's writing this? Like, I can't even think of him saying whatever this insult is. It's not even, but for this, like, he definitely didn't hold back. Evil, like I said, evil Conor McGregor seems to be trickling back into play here. And yeah, I mean, saying the fight's off, I mean, that's the type of conversation that I hate. And I feel like it's just thrown out there to get people talking. And now there's going to be this whole crowd that debates whether or not it's going to happen. It's just a totally unnecessary storyline. I don't think that helps promote a fight. If anything, I think it kind of sucks the fun out of it. But yeah, I mean, I'll have to, when we get off the air here, have George break down the Mardi Gras thing a little more for me. But
I saw you googling under your table.
There you go. The guys are wearing them around their neck, and they go, "Come on, let's go, show them." And then you toss them the beads, and then once they get them, there they go. That's the way. I don't know if nowadays if it still works like that, if that tradition's kept up, because things are a little bit more, you know, by the book. But back then it was, you know, make out with the other chick and show us your tits and I'll toss you extra ones. You know, like it was a lot more crazier back then. You could take a piss in the street. No big deal. Now I think that's probably gotten shut down a little bit. But Mardi Gras in the old days was pretty gnarly, man.
It's like super loud there, though. Like, wouldn't the girl only see you going? Like, isn't it really, really loud?
No, because it's on the streets, and so it's more like in the bars and clubs that kind of do a good job of, like, you could hear like the boom, boom, boom. You know, like, hey, something's going on in there, but not enough that in the streets you're like, "What'd you say? Where are we going?" Like, you know, you can hear each other. But
this conversation's taking a turn.
Yeah. You're right. Hey, what if he does? What if he feels like, hey, he smeared my name, I'm gonna make him pay? He hasn't fought Nate. That should have been an automatic in the last few years, and he hasn't. What if he sticks to his guns? Now Poirier's out of the title fight, and now he's out of the McGregor sweepstakes. He does have the Nate sweepstakes. Remember, Poirier and Nate also have beef. But McGregor could easily go, "Hey, Nate, you want to fight him or you want to fight me?" So I don't know. Is my mind wandering too much or is the fight just happening?
I think that would be a mess for the UFC. I think they're pretty – the fact that they have Nate Diaz in a fight right now, I think they got to go through with the Leon fight. But, I mean, it's certainly – as much as I hate Conor throwing it out there, he does make a good point. I mean, this is a bit of a sweepstakes every time somebody fights him. So he does have – at least that sort of power and sort of a pull when it comes to opponents. But I don't think the UFC is going to let him take that type of power and start pulling out of fights because he doesn't like what the opponent says, or threatens to pull out of fights because he doesn't like what the opponent says. So I think these two fights will go through, but crazier things have happened. So
Dustin should tweet him and say, you ain't backing out of shit, pussy. I'll see you on the 10th. That's just all talk. He should back him into a corner and saying, "You're just talking, and I'm not even scared. I'm training, you know. Write that $500 check. Shut up, you know," something like that, and get back at him. Because if he just sits there and takes it, then Connor's winning the mind games.
Yeah,
if
Dustin needs a ghostwriter, George, I think you got him.
I'll tell you this much though: if that happens to Leon Edwards, we need to fly him to the Vatican, and he needs an exorcism or something, dude.
Yeah,
he would have the worst luck of anybody on the face of the planet if something like that happened to him.
Oh, man. The power of Christ compels you.
And just something, right? Something's got to be going on. Compels you.
Oh, man, this is nuts, guys. I don't think the fight will get taken apart, but you never know. And, yeah, I agree with Nolan. Those retirements, you know, thanks for the cheese. Like, you know, those are times – see, we got to meet Conor McGregor when he was still cashing welfare checks. He told us that. I'm not bagging on him. We got to – Conor was in our studio with a ball cap, a pink shirt, and shorts. He wasn't doing the suits and the thick watches and anything like that. We got to know him when he was a regular man just like, you know, just like us. And I've also never been a big fan of when he kind of acts above everyone else. He's a great prize fighter. Greatest prize fighter in the history of our sports in terms of what he's been able to accumulate and what he's been able to do, a mover and shaker. By no means, Hall of Famer, much respect there. But he's still a human being, just a man just like the rest of us. And when he does do a little bit of that talk down, I don't like it, especially when all he had to do was write the check. This whole dot-to-dot thing, maybe his Twitter fans are buying it. I ain't buying it. He just – someone in his organization fumbled it, you know? I don't think it was Adi. Adi's pretty on top of things, and I definitely don't think it was Conor saying, "Don't send them the money. Let's see if they can, you know, just forget about it." So someone else must have done it, but it's Conor McGregor's reputation, and I think that's why he's like, "Yo, man, that doesn't fly over here."
I almost think it would have came across better if Adi was the first one to respond to this, because I thought his response – I mean, from their perspective, no matter what they say, it's not a good look. You know, if you're getting accused of not carrying out on your donation to a charity – no matter what you say, whatever type of reasonable response you have, you're going to be criticized. And I actually thought his response was like pretty measured, pretty calm, but the damage was already done. So I mean, like you said, Audie's a pretty straight edge guy. He seems like he's always had that control when it comes to representing McGregor. He's never, he's kind of deviated maybe obviously from what his client says and the way he says it. So that's why fighters have managers, but unfortunately they have Twitter. So they can sidestep and put out those statements before the manager can rein them back. But yeah, man, I don't know. This whole thing's just, it's Monday and things are already crazy, you know?
Yeah, we could have this conversation again in like, I don't know, 5 hours. I bet you it'll be completely different. But they're going to keep going.
All right. Totally. We'll finish this up here. Who is mostly the fool in this whole thing, McGregor or Poirier? Who dropped the ball? Who's the bigger fool of the two? You can't say they're both fools. I don't want any fence riding. And you can't say neither one of them's a fool. They're both great individuals. No, one of these two's a fool because we're talking about it for 20 minutes. So they made us do it. That's just they're big players in the sport. Who's the fool here, guys?
Conor McGregor, because at the end of the day, he said he was going to do something, and he didn't do it. And we're not talking about like, hey, I'm going to fly to your house and do an autograph signing or something like that. Like, we're talking about money that's going to a charity. That's something you don't mess with. So for him to not come through, no matter what the reasoning is, it just looks bad. There's not a lot of people that go, well, I wonder why Conor didn't do it and investigate. They just go, man, that guy's a dick. He said he was going to do something. He didn't do it. And they move on to the next thing. So I think he's the one that probably looks the worst right now.
All right, for the purposes of anybody that's going to maybe capture this and make something bigger than it really is, I'll phrase it to you like this, Nolan. Who looks worse of the two?
It got to be Conor. You know, like I totally agree with everything Ghost said. Until you pay that money, if you make a promise, until you carry through with that promise, you're a liar. You know what I mean? So for me, it looks bad on him. The fact that this is a charity, there's charity involvement, makes it even worse. So I think once if he turns around and pays this in a week or whatever and before the fight it's all settled out, I think bygones will be bygones. But I think McGregor, you can't pick Poirier in this scenario. McGregor's looking way worse right now.
Yeah. And then I'll just go back to the original question. I don't want to put Nolan in that. Nolan's starting off in the sport and he's doing really, really good. So I don't want that word coming out of his mouth and then having people tape it and making it a big deal. Goes and I are OGs. We just shoot beer at each other and throw popcorn on ourselves while we watch the fights. So we can handle it. I think McGregor looks like the fool here. Unfortunately, I don't think it's because he didn't want to fight, send them the money. So that whole dot to dot thing, I think that's just him, operation cover up. And now you can see he's seething. He's trying to threaten the fight. But in reality, he's got the money. He offered it in the first place. What you saw out of McGregor was him really trying to change as a man in January. And unfortunately, sometimes when he's out of control and he's too worried about power and fame, he becomes just this other person, you know what I mean? And I think now it's operation trying to cover up, trying to save face. I don't know what it's like in that rich world. I don't know if something like this looks so horrible that now The Rock ain't taking that call, or Stone Cold don't want nothing to do with him, or Mark Wahlberg doesn't, you know, ain't gonna write him into one of his movies. I don't know what it's like in that world where this is a big deal to these people. But, you know, really what it was probably miscommunication that just could have been handled a little bit better. I think I definitely believe Audie that this will get handled or whatever. But right now we're picking a side. I got to say McGregor's the fool, man. He just it's all under his name, unfortunately. You know what I mean? So, yeah, sucks. All right, Nolan, I know it's a busy morning. Thanks so much for you hopping on with us. Great job out there at Bellator as always. And we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll follow that dude. That dude is a really, really good journalist. We're very lucky to have him. Goes, it's UFC 264. It's not McGregor versus Poirier 3 or Poirier versus McGregor 3. I'm going to call it Poirier versus McGregor 3, only out of respect that he won the last fight and the 1-1. But I'll be very clear that I know McGregor's the A side here.
Yeah, I think Dustin knows that. I think everybody knows it. You know, there's really nothing Dustin Poirier could have done to switch things. The only guy that I think could possibly switch A and B with him right now is Khabib. I think it's the only human being on this planet. But other than that, it's always going to be Conor McGregor, the A side, and somebody else, the B side.
You think Khabib would be the A side if they fought again?
I think he could be. because he's the guy that can walk away from all of it. When it gets done, he can do what Conor McGregor's saying. He could say, you know what, I don't feel like fighting. And that's a wrap. And that goes away. I don't think Conor can do that. So I think
could he say, I want to get paid one more penny than McGregor for this fight, or I ain't fighting? Would McGregor sign off on it, and would the UFC sign off on it?
I think McGregor would, because he needs that fight. He needs these type of fights. There's only a few people out there that will make him that ridiculous amount of cash. That Khabib is one of them.
You might be right. I'm processing it as I asked the question and as you answered, but you might be right. Khabib became a monster, man. And everybody respects Khabib just because of the way he did it. But wow, folks, seriously, this morning has been hectic, man, with this whole stuff with McGregor and Poirier. At the end of the day, Adi Attar says they will get a payment. The fight not may not go down, which I think that's bullshit. McGregor said it on Twitter, but the Good Fight Foundation will get their $500,000. I feel bad that when you say something like that, you know, dot for dot, and we haven't heard, you're kind of tearing down that foundation. And look, I've never looked into it, all right? But in the article that I read on Junkie, they've kind of outlined, you know, backpacks and water. You know, there was an opportunity for a well in Africa, you know, so they helped a village in Africa. Kids with backpacks. And then Dustin Poirier, I remember, picked up dinners for everybody, the first 100 people at a bar, you know, a few years ago. So that's more to Dustin's name. I don't think that had to do with the Good Fight Foundation, but they've built playgrounds, things like that. So I don't know that you really can question, you know, where's the money going? I mean, I'm sure you'd like to know what the plan is, and they told you they're going to build a gym, you know? I mean, but once you get to the stage of you're asking for wiring instructions and you've offered and you said it's on its way and you've accepted the thanks from the wife, you know, that's all on video post-fight. You follow through, you know? It's as simple as that. You follow through. And then if something doesn't happen the way it's supposed to happen, then I guess I suppose you can speak up. But again, man, I don't know. I don't know about speaking up. Speaking up is just something that you have to be very, very careful with when you talk about somebody's reputation. You know, I've always said that. And I don't know, that part made me a little uncomfortable. But once it started, I still feel like someone can be the bigger man or both can be the bigger man. And I think both now, if you want to get paid those $1 million, those seven figures, I guess maybe even eight figures in the case of McGregor, and you have those teams that have, you know, you have your manager and then you have the staff, the admins, and someone associated with PR, you let them handle that. They're professionals at making sure that every single one of your words isn't, you know, deciphered or coded, you know, to mean something else or possibly mean something else. You know, especially if you're not good at it and you have a history of fumbling things like that. That's what you pay them for. Because once you do that, I don't know. Now, others could say, you guys, you two idiots, are along with Nolan, you guys have just been bumbling and fumbling for 30 minutes. He's got you talking about it's building up the fight. Yeah, sure. But I can read into this shit pretty good. And I think McGregor's seething goes. I think his reputation, that hurt him a little bit, man. I think that really, really did hurt him a little bit. You get to the point where you're saying inbred hillbilly or whatever. Come on, man. You were just shaking his hand. You know, come on. That's an unraveling. You know, as he says, you're new to money. McGregor, are you new to class? I mean, that's just not what you do, man. Like, seriously, I don't know.
I think where it does hurt him, huh? I don't think it bothers him as far as what the fans think of him or even other fighters. I think where it does bother him probably is what other celebrities think of him.
Think of him, right.
Yeah, I think that's where it really stings, because now that he's, you know, shaking hands with some of these big people, to hear something like that about you would be really, really scummy. So, and it would probably, it's a huge amount of money to us, but in the celebrity world, it's probably not that much, right? So I would imagine another celebrity kind of looking down on you like, come on, man, you can't come through with $500,000. Like, I thought you're a big baller. What's going on over here? Like I mentioned earlier, they're not the ones that are going to get in there and look at every tweet and do an investigation to see who's right and who's wrong. They just read something. A guy promised money. He didn't come through. that's enough for them, and people move on. I think he's more embarrassed in that world of what people would think of him there.
Right, yeah. Wahlberg, Stallone, The Rock. Well, I'm kind of using the same names over and over. I don't really follow pop culture as much as I used to. DiCaprio. Okay. Those guys may be reading and going, new money to Connor, you know, because he couldn't follow through on that. And I think that that hurts him. That's what, you know, that's what they could be thinking. I was, that movie Titanic cracks me up because the, that lady Molly, what they call her?
The unsinkable Molly Brown.
Molly, yeah. She had come across some money and, one of those ladies, not the countess that goes loves, but somebody else. I think it might be what's her face's mom. What was the star female?
Kate Winslet.
Yeah, well, what was her name in the movie?
Rose.
Jack and Rose. Rose's mom, I think, goes new money. You could see her saying new money. Uh-huh. Molly wasn't sure. She was still acting like Yahoo, you know, like that type. She wasn't prim and proper. Same thing. I think those powerful people that I think Connor wants to be like, maybe saying that to him, or he may think they're saying that to him. The fact is they probably admire him. You know, who doesn't admire a prize fighter that can do that and you know, talk it out? But I don't know. He's nailed so many things along the way. I sometimes get disappointed when he just fumbles something like this.
Do you know how many fans will say, fuck Conor McGregor, I hate that guy, he's a loser, he's that, and then see him walk by and go, hey, Conor, can I get a quick pic, quick selfie? They do that, right? I don't think he cares about those people. Even fighters, we see at the Performance Institute, when Conor goes there, they'll take selfies with them. Hey, look who's here, right? I honestly think it's that higher echelon, that celebrity crowd that he's worried about. I don't blame him. I mean, that you work so hard to get somewhere, and then you get make look like a dork, right, going in. I understand that, but it's his own doing, right? He should have sent that money right away.
Sent that money, yeah. The dot for dot, like, you, at that point, you're questioning a little bit of Good Fight Foundation. You have your doubts. And then the more you talk, I've learned this from those cop shows, the more you talk, the more you're on record for already saying stuff. Because there could be a guy that comes on and goes, bro, you sent us $100,000 and didn't ask us a goddamn thing about any plans, you know? You see what I'm saying? So once you put it out there that, oh, you like to cross T's and dot I's before you sign that check or whatever, or wire the money, you know, you're putting out information that could be used against you too. So that's why you have to be careful when you unravel. That's why you have to be careful with apologies when you say, you know, I didn't know that she would be pissed off at my comment or my action. I'm making shit up. Anybody that knows me knows that that's never been my game. I've always been prim and proper, you know. And then someone goes, well, in high school, you grabbed my titty at the party, you know, whatever. You know, that's why you just say, I apologize for doing what I did. And you keep it as simple as you can, because once you start doing too much, rather than accepting blame and doing the right thing and apologizing, owning your mistakes, then that's when people are looking at your apology, you know, and what you're saying, go, he just wants to sweep this. He's not learning. You got to learn from it. You got to become a better person from your mistakes. Right, Goose?
Yeah, no, I agree. By the way, did you hear me scream last night?
Like a girl or like a man?
Like a girl.
Yes, I think so. I was watching Sopranos and I saw a scene and I thought I heard something like that. So I rewound it two times just to see if it was in the scene. Because I even looked, our mom is staying with us for a couple days, and I even looked into the guest room to make sure everything was okay with mom. And I was like, man, could it have been outside? Like, is there a problem outside or whatever? But I rewound it twice, and then I kept it kind of quiet, and then I didn't hear anything else. So that would maybe make sense. Was it around like 11-ish, 12 or?
Maybe 12-ish, one around there.
I don't know if I was up that late, but what happened?
I had a dream, okay? I woke up in a sweat, dude. I had a dream that I felt something weird on my head, and I went to the restroom, and I looked in the mirror, and I had kind of gone bald back here, and when I brushed the hair out, it started falling. There was like a face in my head, And I just went, like it made a weird face like that. And I woke up and I know I screamed because I could hear it as I was waking up. And I even did like this with my hands. I freaked out. And the weirdest thing was Laura didn't even move. That's how asleep she was. I was scared, dude. I couldn't believe it. I haven't had one of those in a long time. You ever had one of those dreams?
Did you take that brain food on it or whatever?
No. The one that I have a lot is that my teeth have fallen out. And the weird thing is when I wake up, that scream is kind of like if I have no teeth. I kind of go like, like that when I wake up.
I've had that one before.
Yeah, I've had that one about four times in my lifetime. But this one was nasty. I couldn't go back to sleep after that.
Wow. All right. Let me hit refresh on Poirier, McGregor, and Adi just in case. I think the fight will still go on, honestly. That's why I think McGregor just shouldn't have tweeted that because it's going to go on. And that's why I think if Poirier, because in the court of public opinion, a lot of people are going, McGregor's punking him, you know? So I think Poirier, if he cares, could say, you know what, two can play that game. I'll keep it simple. And like I said, you'll be there on July 10th. You got no other options. And write the stupid check, you know? Write the check already, you know? Stop wasting people's time. Simple. And now you've backed them into a corner. Unless you're punking out, you could add that to it. Unless you're punking out of helping the charity or whatever, you've backed them into a corner. You've seen Adi already say that he's going to do it. So if you want to play the mind game, you want to get into that whole deal and see. But I don't like that it got so ugly so quick. Well, whatever, man. I've stopped worrying about these guys. I think early on when we were covering the sport, I wanted everyone to know it's a violent sport, but we have a lot of good men and women that are going to help it become one of the biggest sports ever. Give them a chance, you know? And then some of these guys and gals let me down at times, but what are you going to do? You know, I mean, I can't look back and say I didn't do stupid shit in my teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, and even last week, but that's it. I didn't say it goes. I didn't say the phrase that pisses you off. I just said, that's it. Ghost doesn't like it when people go, it is what it is, because you feel like you're running out of things to say, so you just say that. No, that's it. Anyway, other stuff happened this weekend, like fights actually took place. Bellator 256 played out on Showtime this past Friday. Ryan Bader defeated Lyoto Machida. He looked great, didn't he, Ghost? Ryan Bader, I mean, he was pretty much a savage, especially on the ground. Lyoto, it looked like, hey, if he can keep up what he's doing in round one, Bader might have some trouble and might eventually get caught, you know, because he likes to lure you in and then pow, you know, load on you. But that's a high pace. And then eventually Bader said, enough, took him down and took away all, you know, the footwork, the movement, the feints, and basically just started crushing his skull.
Yeah, I really don't know what to say about Lyoto because I don't even know that, like, I don't know that you could look at it and say, like, he's lost a step or anything. It was just, like, a really good game plan on Ryan Bader's behalf. And I don't understand how he was able to get him down. Not just get him down, but keep him down, being as active as he was, you know, throwing the shots that he was throwing. I thought there'd be, like, a little bit of space where Lyoto could just get back up, but Ryan was just tough, man. And that's the thing about Ryan Bader is, like, when you think about when he debuted in mixed martial arts, it's been a while, dude. He's done a lot. He's fought a lot of fighters. But he still kind of has, like, this freshness to his game where you just go, man, this dude can still really compete with some of the best in the world. He could give people nightmares if he can implement his game plan. And this was one of those fights where he was able to do what he wanted to do, and he looked great doing it. But it poses the question that we asked Scott Coker last week, again, like, had he lost this fight, then everything starts to make sense again at heavyweight, and that moves on. But because he won, now it's all tied up again. So I don't know what's going to happen here with Ryan Bader.
Yeah, apparently he's hinting now. He told us this past Thursday, and then I think he told Junkie at the fights on Friday that they're probably going to look to do something for the interim heavyweight title because Bader advances in the Grand Prix. You've committed to this Grand Prix. Bader's got to fight and be healthy for the Grand Prix. So if they decide to do that, good. And I think the pressure of what's happening with heavyweights in boxing and then what the UFC just did with their big fight that they had, you just can't look at your heavyweight division and go, oh, I mean, I'm pleased with that. There's inactivity, long lulls. You know, you had the no contest with the title defense against Congo. Like, it's really, really been a mess. Even remember when Vadim, what was his name? Minnikov, sorry, was at the top and he had some sort of a holdout situation. Like, it's literally been a mess, man. You got to go back to like the Cole Conrad days to go, oh yeah, you know, remembering what was happening in the heavyweight division. But it was really, really a mess, and it still is a mess. So yeah, you have to address it. And again, that's the problem. When you have a champ, guy can't be in two places at one time, you know. You have to have a lucky situation like the UFC has, where there's not many 45ers chirping, because A, they either all got their asses kicked by Nunes already, or B, there's just no other ones out there to chirp, right? So in the meantime, you just kind of keep her busy at 35, which she's already kind of cleaned out that division too. So they've been able to pull it off. But in the reality, I don't know that champs are really the best thing for you. I think they're only good for you when they win it. You let them parade around for a month, both belts, and then you got to give one up, kid. And that's that. The accomplishment's been set. You know, there's not too many that go through the whole process of defending titles, you know, and being able to brag that. But what were we going to say?
Well, I was going to say, really, when you think about it, it might have just been a fad, because there's been so many champs now that it's not a big deal anymore. I mean, it is, but it's not a huge deal. It's not like the way it was a few years ago when it finally happens that you go, wow, okay, look at that. That's what separates you from the rest of the pack. Now you can name off a bunch of champs that have done it before, right? So now it becomes, can you be a champ and continue being a champ? That's a little different, right? But now just the accomplishment of champ is kind of like, you just read it and you go, well, good for him, right? Good for her.
But, yeah. Or get a third weight class, like what Triple C was trying to do for a while. He wanted to be, what, C4, I think, and take off Volkanovski. But he had already let go of the other divisions, so I was like, oh, I'm kind of into that, you know, because I don't want to see Holloway and Volkanovski run it again until Holloway did what he did recently, where he looked so good that I was like, God damn, I think I do want to see a part three. Plus, I thought Holloway won part two, but first, you know, it's going to be Volkanovski versus Ortega. But yeah, I was kind of into C4. I was like, man, I wouldn't mind seeing that. But anyway, Bader advances in the Grand Prix. This week, I believe we have Corey Anderson. He's fighting his fight. So is Davis and Nemkov. So we're going to have a few more participants throwing down. In fact, I got the card right here. Wait, Bellator 257. Let me make sure I got this right.
Hey, let's take this time to remind our audience that Saturday, April 24th, Gorgeous George and Goes will be hosting a UFC 261 watch-along here on Sportscaster. We get in here. I mean, at this point, you guys know when the pay-per-view is, but we always get in an hour early, and it's going to be a fun time. We're going to have our drinks. We're going to have our food like we always do, and you get to hear George and I call the fights and hang out with us. You can mute John Anik or whoever is going to be on there that night. And listen to George and I call fights. There's a chat room. Everybody gets to hang out. It's a lot of fun. So please make sure you join us here on Sportscaster for that.
And if you don't order the pay-per-view, then what more do you want? We can give you the results in real time. It's a lot better than Twitter. It's a lot better than play-by-plays. I can only think of maybe your boys at the fights, which they are going to have fans, and he's telling you what's happening. But imagine how much he's going to piss off the people around him, and imagine the background noise. So even then, we're still the best option. Yes, Bellator 257 has two of those fights goes. Vadim Nemkov defends against Phil Davis, and it's a quarterfinal in the Grand Prix, and Corey Anderson faces D-Yags. Kind of shortened his name. It looks like Yag Shimuradov. So we've been going with D-Yags. On that one, and then all that'll be left is Romero and Johnson as we finish up the quarterfinals. So Bader advances. That's good. And then the rest of the results are as follows. By the way, as you were telling me, when Bader won, I think you were mentioning, you know, ever since he won the tough, I remember when he beat Magalhaes, I was at the event, December 2008. I was also at Machida versus Bader like 7 years ago. So, yeah, Bader, I agree with you, Goz. He has gotten better. but that was huge to bounce back off of that loss to Nemkov. A lot of people, sometimes they take a loss and it's hard to bounce back, but Bader was able to gather himself and come back. Liz Carmouche defeated Vanessa Porto. She now starts to build a case for fighting Juliana Velasquez at some point, because remember, she brings in equity from 35 and her stint at 25 in the UFC. She fought for a title in the UFC in two different divisions. She came up short against Ronda Rousey and Valentina Shevchenko, two of the greatest ever. But to get to that point, she had to win fights. So the win over Vanessa Porto was big, because Vanessa Porto has also had her successes. And Carmouche has a name, and I think that's why Bellator signs a lot of these fighters, because they still have a name. So look, keep an eye out for that. Adam Borix goes to 17-1. He defeated Jeremy Kennedy, who falls to 15-3. I mentioned the records because they're still impressive records. I think both guys can be players at 45, which is ruled by Patricio Pitbull Frady. Kat Zingano defeated Olivia Parker. Now she's saying, hey, what about me versus Cyborg? Maybe. You know, she's had a good career as a 35er, and now she's 2-0 as a 45er. So, you know, good for her. You got to almost consider her, which we did, for pound for pound, because that's basically the definition. How would she do as a featherweight? Well, we're watching it. She's doing it for us. Dan Morant defeated Goichi Yamaguchi. Very controversial there. Split decision. Dalton Rosta, Talita Noguera, Jamel Lugo, Cody Law, Jalen Bates, Nyona Dung, and Diana Avzergova. John Doma also got wins on Friday night on Showtime. Did you like the fights on Showtime week two, guys?
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I liked week one better, probably. But it was okay. It was good. It had a good pace, and the fights were pretty decent.
Am I wrong here when I say that one on TNT 1 and Bellator 256 still at times can have this eerie feel to it? And by that I mean the UFC also has no fans. And I don't know if it's their arenas are more cozy, because the UFC Apex is a small, small, intimate arena, or if they've done the right thing with lighting, or if they've done the right thing with sound, where you don't get this like echoey effect, this ghost town feel at times. Sometimes you do, but not really. You know what I mean? And granted, they've had about a dozen or more shows under their belt, maybe even two dozen shows under their belt. And throw in more, if you throw in Contender Series, they might have it dialed down. But there are times where when I saw The Voice and Franklin and Mitch, or Big John McCarthy and Mauro, where it just kind of – they had this empty feeling behind them.
I think I have a response to that that might make sense. Mm-hmm. With one, it felt like they were in a very big arena. I think that didn't help, right? Where the Apex is just small. And then with Bellator, what they did was they still did the thing where they have the Bellator desk within the confines. Like, it's not like how the UFC does with the Apex now, where they're back in that studio within the Apex, but on another floor and all that. So it kind of gave you shots of just how empty things were, like almost haunting a little bit. Yeah. It was just kind of weird. So I understand what you're saying, but I don't know that like a lot of people probably catch on to that. I don't know. I think a lot – see, the difference between us and other people, or in between fights, we have to pay attention to everything. I think a lot of people watch fights, and the second somebody's arm gets raised, they go and make a hot dog, or they go do something, and they don't come back until the next fighter's about to fight. We kind of watch the whole thing, so I don't know that like everybody looks at it the same way.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Let's talk about UFC really quick, because we got to wrap up soon. Marvin Vettori defeated Kevin Holland. Arnold Allen defeated Sadiq Youssef. Julian Marquez defeated Sam Alvey. Mackenzie Dern defeated Nina Ansaroff. D-Rod, Daniel Rodriguez, defeated Mike Perry. We'll go over the results of the rest of the fight if we have a chance here today. If not, maybe we'll shore it up on Thursday. But any thoughts on this main card and the main event with Marvin Vettori as he defeated Kevin Holland? And one of the stories from this, as I look at 50-44 scores across the board, was how was Kevin Holland going to respond after that fight he had versus Derek Brunson, which disappointed many. So I know I threw a lot at you guys, but see if we could take it one by one.
Well, my heart kind of goes out to Kevin Holland a little bit, in the sense that he did seem like he took this more serious. Like he had the type of demeanor that I wish I would have seen him have against Derek Brunson. It seemed like it really did bother him. It seemed like he really did come to fight. The problem was in this fight, it's just he's kind of been exposed that his wrestling is not really where it needs to be. And once he's down, he just has problems getting right back up, because it's not like we're looking at Marvin Vettori, Division One wrestler or anything like that. This is a guy that probably had not that much wrestling, but because he worked so hard and because of the gym that he's a part of, was able to develop these skills along the way. So Marvin fought a type of fight where I think he just saw a weakness and he went to town on it. And it probably didn't make for the most interesting fight. But I will say at least Kevin fought till the end. You know, he tried, he just didn't have the skills this night. As where the other one made you feel like, man, he didn't even care. I think he really did care in this one. Yeah, he did do some of the things that he said he was going to do. The skills just weren't there. But overall, I thought this card was very fun to watch.
You know what's weird is one would have thought Brunson dominated Holland even more than Vettori did, because I thought Holland looked good at times against Vettori. But again, the judges didn't think so. But
he threw him late.
Vettori had the more impressive scores. Now, Holland, I thought, looked very determined and focused, and he cut down on a lot of the mistakes and a lot of the times where he just seemed to like maybe give up or get too comfortable. And I like that. So, but I'll give you examples. There's times when Marvin Vettori would wrap him up, right? Like get a good body lock on him, and he was boxing his ears, and I'm like, get underhooks. Like, your biggest problem is if he takes you down, because then he's going to keep you there for like 2 or 3 minutes, you know, unless you can get up quickly, especially if he takes you down in the middle of the octagon. So this deal right here isn't really going to do much. If you have maybe an angle and you can elbow somebody when they're kind of like crouched down and trying to grab a single or something, I've seen fights end that way. But the boxing of the ears, I'd be more concerned with maybe getting underhooks than doing that and just fighting off the takedown to begin with versus dealing with how to get up once you've already been taken down. So, and it's not like Kevin Holland doesn't know how to do that. He does. It's just, I guess this is just moments in the fights where he maybe is applying the wrong strategy. I've seen enough fights to know that your best bet is underhooks in that situation. But he did impress me with his focus, less smiling, less talking. I think he still has promise, and I think he can still build off the 2020 run when he went 5-0. 2021 just hasn't gone his way, but I respect him for taking this fight and showing us that I think he's going to take things a lot more serious going forward. Now, is Marvin Vettori next for Israel Adesanya? Well, a lot of people are saying that. He has beaten Cesar Ferreira, Andrew Sanchez, Carl Roberson, Jack Hermanson, and Kevin Holland. 5-fight win streak since losing to Israel Adesanya back in it was about 4 years ago. It was April of 2018. Shit, 3 years ago. Derek Brunson's won 4 in a row. He's beaten Kevin Holland, Edmund Shabazian, Ian Heinsch, and Elias Theodoro since losing to Israel Adesanya. He got finished by Israel Adesanya. Vettori took him to a split decision. So I guess Vettori had maybe a better showing. He's got one more win. That's why he feels like he's ahead of Derek Brunson. Now, is he ahead of Robert Whittaker, who's beaten Jared Cannonier and Darren Till? Bigger names than the ones both of these guys have beaten, but he was also the last guy to lose to Israel Adesanya. What are your thoughts there?
You know, I think the bulk of what you look at with Marvin Vettori, I mean, yeah, it's nice to have a streak, but it's the last two fights, I think, that really hold value, because those are different skill sets, and you look at them and you go, wow, he handled them pretty well. But when you look at Robert Whittaker, and I think his bulk is the last three fights are going to be pretty impressive names and the way he fought in that fight. So I would imagine if he were to get a win here, it's going to be hard to deny him. And we've talked about how often MMA is a what have you done for me lately sport. And it's so quick to forget what happened last week and remember what happened this week. So I think right now Robert Whittaker is in a good position. If he gets a win, I think it's probably his. The only way I could see them skipping him is if he just looked absolutely terrible in a win or something like that. But even then, I think it's going to be hard to deny it. But Marvin Vettori, maybe he could even wait or take one more fight. But I see him as very marketable. I think they would want to put him in that spot.
if Whitaker definitely doesn't look good in his next fight, even while winning, he may get skipped over. But that would be three in a row to a guy that's 11-1 since becoming a middleweight. He became a champ. That's pretty damn impressive, you know. And then to win three after losing your title, I don't know, hard to walk away from that. But I think Vettori's done a good job building himself up, and he's knocked out win after win after win. So I think Vettori, even if he doesn't get it immediately, he'll be next after that. It's whether he wants to take another fight or not. That's the danger that he's probably in right now. But I would have no problem if they were to go Israel versus Vettori, and I would have no problem with Israel versus Whitaker if Whitaker wins his fight that's coming up versus Kelvin Gastelum, who's subbing in for Paulo Costa. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. All right. The rest of the results are as follows. Well, I think I told you the rest of the results. So was there anything else you wanted to say? Arnold Allen looked good against Sadiq Youssef. I mean, that guy's won, I think, 8 in a row or something like that. I mean, he's done work in the UFC. Julian Marquez looking really, really good. Had a scary moment there when Alvi turned things around and kind of hurt Marquez, but Marquez gathered himself, really hurt him with his fist, and then subbed him. Mackenzie Dern, man, she keeps looking better and better against Nina Ansaroff. D-Rod took out Mike Perry. The bonuses, by the way, went to Marquez and Alvi and Mackenzie Dern and Matheus Gamrot. So any final thoughts?
No, just overall, there were good performances, and a lot of the younger talent, I think, is starting to come through a little bit more for the UFC here.
Yeah, I like Mackenzie Dern, and even though her striking keeps improving, it needs to improve more, but in the process of doing so, it's effective. But yeah, what she's doing is transferring her game to the point where she's head and shoulders above the rest, and she's just a surgeon on the ground. The way she set up that armbar was incredible. Imagine Nina Ansaroff with all those black belts in Florida at American Top Team, the skills she's developed, and also, sorry, Nina Nunez is her name. Thank you to Gally from Toronto. Imagine all that, and of course, her partner being the greatest of all time, Amanda Nunes. She's got the resources, and she probably worked on that. That's how good Mackenzie Dern is, that she kind of made it look easy with the end result. So I'm very excited to see what Mackenzie Dern has, because she's really turned the corner on the whole. When you used to think of Mackenzie Dern, you used to think of awesome Brazilian jiu-jitsu, doesn't make weight. Now you just go awesome Brazilian jiu-jitsu, getting better at everything else. Give her a big fight, you know, so she's already kind of cleared that hurdle. So I think that's awesome. And Arnold Allen, keep doing your thing. We used to cover you at Cage Warriors, so I have a soft spot for you. I've also liked Super Sadiq. I hope he can turn things around. He was a little bit more active in this fight, but it's a lot of headhunting. I'd like to see him work the body, work some more kicks. And he threatened with a choke one time, so you know he's working on the ground game. I'd like to see a little bit of more of that to complement that power and speed that he has. But I still think he's one of the better 45ers, definitely one of the better, one of the top 20 45ers. He just needs to put wins together. All right, folks, we're going to get on out of here. Thank you, as always, for your support on Mondays and Thursdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, live here on Sportscaster. Keep tuning in. Tell your buddies. Give us a follow. That way you're notified anytime we're on, in case you forget. And don't forget, on April 24th, UFC 261 watch-along with Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal at the top of the bill. Two other title fights as well, Valentina Shevchenko and Zhang Weili. They defend their belts. On Thursday, we'll get into a little bit with Zhang Weili and Rose Namajunas, and some comments that came from Rose Namajunas that were very, very controversial and talked about this past weekend. We're a little bit out of time here, and I'm sure McGregor and Poirier will have more to say. And if we can, we'll dip down into the undercard just to see if there were any gems that we may have missed as we recap UFC on ABC2, which, by the way, was great. Woke up at 9 a.m., was done by 3 p.m. Pretty cool. I could do that from time to time. But there is something about that Saturday buildup to the night of fights. So I don't know if that I would ever want that one to be the norm. Anyway, all right, enough of that. We're out of here, folks. Enjoy your day. Thanks again for your kind comments about 14 years. And we'll talk to you on Thursday. Go out and be a champion.